The wisdom and the strength of our Constitution has preserved our nation well for over 200 years. Naturally, it's been the object of attack by the enemies of freedom, as it tends to be that document that upholds the biblical principles and a fear of God, and it has pretty much restrained the ambitions of arrogant totalitarianism. Yet bit by bit, this document and its value is being whittled away, and more importantly, the bedrock principles upon which it rests, I'd say, are being chiseled away year by year. The question is, what can be done to protect the Constitution and our freedoms? Because I would have to submit, if we did not have this Constitution, we would not have our freedoms. So Dave Kistler, let me go to you first here, and I would like to get just a bit of a comment from all three of you here at the end. But, you know, we emphasize the Constitution greatly on this program, right closely behind the Word of God. Again, as I laid out at the beginning, God's moral law, absolute truth, and the Constitution as our highest civil law based on biblical principles. In short, Dave, why do you think the Constitution is under such an assault? And if you could limit yourself to just one primary solution needed to protect and to preserve it.
Sam Rather, I believe it's under attack because right after the Word of God, it is the document that is intended to govern our country, and the principles in the Constitution were certainly derived from the Scriptures. So I believe both are under attack, the Constitution under attack because of the principles ensconced in it. Sam, you will remember back during one of the political campaigns when Joe Biden was in a debate with the other individual, Sarah Palin, that was running for vice president, and a question was asked about what you view your role to be if you were to be elected vice president. And right out of the chute, Joe Biden said, well, my role is very clearly delineated in Article 1 of the Constitution. Well, as David said earlier, Article 1 has nothing to do with the executive branch. It has to do with the legislative branch. So here is a man who's a constitutional attorney, or supposed to be, and he doesn't even know which article of the Constitution deals with what he's supposed to be doing. So to protect the Constitution, Sam, I would suggest this, that not only every American read it, but that we require those that are representing us in Congress and in the highest offices of the land to have at least read the Constitution through one time. You remember how our friend Michelle Bachmann held classes for freshman congressmen coming in when she was first elected because so many of them were not just ignorant of the Constitution, they'd never read it one time.
Dave, I think you're right on the money there, and I don't have time to get into it, but I can share an example here in the Pennsylvania House that happened, too. We put a vote up, had people raise hands on the floor one day. How many members of the House voting on legislation had actually read it, the Pennsylvania Constitution? I think there are about 10 people. So, proving your point. Gary, let's go to you. From a pastoral perspective, why don't you give me the same answer? Who's the enemy of the Constitution, as you see it, and one primary solution to protecting it?
Well, I think the enemy of the Constitution is the devil himself. I mean, you know, we constantly need to recognize that we are standing not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers that are evil and that are wicked. This Constitution, as Dave just said, was written based upon biblical principles. From the very beginning to the end, you can see that clearly. Satan himself hates biblical truth. Therefore, he would hate the Constitution. Therefore, I think that the way to resolve this situation is for pastors, once again, back in the pulpit, to preach the truth of the Word of God and then take some time in their congregations to teach the biblical basis of the Constitution, and perhaps it'll spread. Sam, you and I have a friend by the name of Larry Denver who goes about and teaches the Constitution. I think we need much more of that going on in the country today as well.
So, Gary, you went right to the fundamental core of saying we need biblical instruction, God's moral law, how God's framed a government, which is what we talk about here, ladies and gentlemen, on the program. That's why you have to start there, or you don't really ever understand the Constitution or why it is the way it is. So I want to go now to David New. David, I'm going to give you the final word here. You've heard what Dave said, you heard what Gary said, both as causes and some solutions. Kind of wrap this up here for us as we look at the enemy of the Constitution and the best solutions to protecting it.
Well, the enemy of the Constitution is the philosophy that exists in American politics today. The Constitution is for limited government. Well, that's not the view of many people who are in Washington, D.C. They believe in unlimited government. That's the enemy. Here's the key to returning to the Constitution. It's in those first three letters of the Constitution, we the people. That's where the solution lies. Study the Constitution yourself. Share what you know about the Constitution with other people who are interested. And number three, vote. Vote. Vote for people. Once the Supreme Court knows that we know the Constitution and that the gig is up, they will stop.
Well, David New and Gary and Dave, I'm listening. I'm writing down notes that you have said, and I think that they are all true. David New, at the end, you went to the heart of the philosophy. Gary went to, as far as being an enemy. Gary, you went to God's word and that we need that teaching. And if I could, man, I just want to put another thought here that I would say if I were asked as well, is that it is a philosophy. It's an ideology. We talk about it here, ladies and gentlemen, a lot. We call it the Judeo-Christian biblical worldview. It's a view of God. David New, you went there and you talked about we, the people, talk about the Constitution. But before that, in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about we acknowledge God, our creator, the giver of the rights, which is why we have we, the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, a worldview really determines whether or not you think that the Constitution is a restriction to our freedom, or are there fence posts of an important framework around our free republic? And of course, we don't believe that God is God. We don't fear God. We don't believe that God is creator and the giver of rights. Then it's easy to say, as you said, David New, why limited government? Big government. Because big government always replaces God.